You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Our verse in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40 is because he wanted people, especially the people of God, to know how to properly behave in God's house. He wanted the people of God in his day to know how they should conduct themselves in God's house. And he was very specific on things they shouldn't do in the chapter, as well as things that they should do. Now, what I love about God's word is that we should not only apply it inside of the church, but we should also apply what we learn in our personal lives when we leave the church. God's word is not just for us to practice inside of the church. We should also take what we learn and apply it to our personal lives when we leave the church. Are you with me? Now, contextually, the verse is dealing with, again, behavior in the church. But this morning, I'm going to look at it not only from the aspect of the church, but I'm also going to look at it from a contemporary way so young people know how to apply this to their personal lives outside the church as well. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, the reason I say that we should not just apply God's word in the church is because Jesus didn't come just so we could prosper in the church. He came that our life would be complete. He wants us to be productive, not just in the church, but in every aspect of our life. Are we in agreement? Let's notice a verse that many of us know, but let's look at it. John 10 and 10. And I'm primarily concerned with the latter part, but let's just read John 10, 10. And it reads, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it," what? "More abundantly." Now, he would be wrong just to say, "I just want life to be good when you come to church." But no, he wants us to have life in the church and what? Outside the church. He wants us to be productive in every aspect. And so what he does is, in order for us to have life, he gives us the word. He gives us the word. Jesus told the devil himself, young folk, "Man cannot live by bread alone." Man cannot live. Man cannot have life from bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds from the what? Mouth of God. So he gives us a preacher to relay to us the mind of God. And what we get from God sent preacher is faith. And faith is what we should put into action. Y'all still with me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. So God expects me to come to his house, hear the word, and then put it into action. Now, I thank God here at the MSW, I got an amen section. Yeah, first and third Sunday and fifth Sunday, they be straight live. They be with the preacher. Whether it step on their toes or make them happy. We got an amen corner in the MSW. I got about four or five designated folk. If they get quiet, I know I'm stepping on their toes. Because they are a part of the Amen ministry. Even one of my armor bears, when the word gets shown up tight, I just hear, preach it. And how many know we should readily receive the word with joy? That's how it should be. When that word is good to you, you just can't sit there dead. When that word is hitting you from your neck down to your toe, sometimes you just got to throw up your hand and say, Lord, help me. When that word is showing you your destiny on how you're going to be successful, how you're going to have good success, you got to stand to your feet sometime and say, you talking about me. You got to stand and turn in victory and get happy. You got to shout amen or so be it. That word will stir you up. When you're going through a trial and God release your way out and you get your rhema word, I don't know about you. I write it down. I put the date on it and I let him know during service, God, you said it and I'm expecting it to happen. But it's not enough. It's not enough for us just to hear the word, young people. Write it down. Put it in our phone. Highlight the scripture. Look at somebody and say, that ain't enough. Turn into your neighbor and slapping them with a high five or a low five. Look at somebody and say, that ain't enough. Yeah, that ain't enough. No, we got to be hearers and doers of the word. If we want what the Lord has promised, we got to put that word into action. If we want the word to unfold in our lives, we got to keep the word. We got to hide it in our heart so we don't sin against him. Because all of the promises, young people of God, are yes and amen. Look at somebody say, we just don't need to get happy when we hear the word. Now, get happy, but don't let that be the only thing. Let's go to the book of Luke. Let me show you this. Y'all still with me? All right. Luke 11. And look at what Jesus said. So I'm laying this foundation. God wants us to have life in every aspect. It comes from the word. I need to get excited about the word. I need to write it down. I need to hide it in my heart. But I got to make sure I do what Jesus said in Luke 11 and 28. Look at what Jesus said. But he said more than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I am blessed when I hear the word and I keep it. I'll have productivity in my life when I hear the word and I put it into action. My life, my soul will be converted. My life will get better and better day after day, month after month, year after year, if I hear the word and keep it. It does not matter if you are a preteen. It does not matter if you don't have your driver's license. It does not matter if you're in your early 20s. It does not matter if you degreed up or you working full time. God's blessings will overtake me and his young folk when we hear the word and put it into action. Look at somebody and say, we got to keep that word. Yeah, and the preach to you, say, I got to keep the word. Even when you are going through your deserts and valleys, you still need to keep the word. Even when men aren't coming up and giving into your bosom yet, you got to keep the word. Even when your body is racking with pain, young people, you got to help me keep the word. Even when you mad at your mama, help me out, you got to keep the word. Even when your gas tank get close to E, you got to keep the word. Even when you're not liking your coach because of his choices, you gotta keep the word. No matter what goes on in our life, we gotta keep the word. Our blessings, according to Jesus, will manifest when we keep the word. And so we gotta understand it comes down to our choices. as a faith walker, though you are a young adult, a young person, it comes down to our choices. If you want what God promised, it comes down to your choices. It's not about trying to impress anybody. It's not about trying to outdo anybody. It's about the choices that everyone makes on a day-to-day basis. I love what Jesus said. He said, look, I see in the dark. I see what nobody else see. And if you're doing my word when nobody else can see it, I'll reward you openly. See, God is so concerned with us. That's why it's important for us to have a daily, sincere relationship with him. Because he knows about our choices. And that brings us to our verse. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, the first word is let. Letting us know or making us aware that we got a choice. Let. It has to be your choice. If you're not saved, that's your choice. But understand, if you die in sin, didn't nobody send you to hell? It was your choice. It was your choice. You lived your life and you rejected Jesus. And if you died in your sin, ain't no need of being mad at the Lord or nobody else. That was your choice. It's your choice. How many know nobody can make us do anything? We all get tempted, right? But it's our choice. And so Paul tells them, you got a choice. I know you're saved. I know you got the Holy Spirit. I know you love the Lord. I know you're active in the ministry, but you still need to be conscious of your choices. And this morning, we're going to heed what Paul said. He told the Corinthian church, let all things be done a certain way. Let all things be done a certain way. Now, before I deal with the two ways, I need us to understand. When it comes to our choices, you pretty much gonna do one of three things. Bottom line, whether you're an adult, or young person, you pretty much gonna do or make a choice based upon three things. It's either gonna be man's way or your way. It's gonna be God's way, or it's gonna be the devil's way or the world's way. Bottom line, either we're going to do things man's way or how we want to do it. We're going to do things God's way, how he wants things to be done. Or we're going to do things like the devil, the world, and others. Woo, look at somebody and say, pick one. Yeah, you can't serve multiple masters. Either you or I, we're going to do things the way we want to do it. We're going to do things the way the world does things, or we're going to do things the way God does things. It is our choice. Now, I hope y'all join in and follow my example, but I understand everyone here has a choice. Let me prove it to you. Boy, we're going to deal with this today. Let's look at Proverbs 16. Let's do some turning and flipping real quick. Proverbs 16:25. Let me prove my point of the three choices that we have to choose from. Okay? Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to who? A man. There is a way that seems right to a man. But the end, or its end, is the way of death. If you or I do what seems right to ourselves, it may seem right. I feel. Understand, that way leads to death. Well, I feel ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, I feel it's okay. I know what pastor been teaching. I know I've been to Sunday school. I know what the Bible say, but it's a new day. I feel. That's the old way. Mama, you old. You outdated. You need an upgrade. Understand, that's the way that seems right. And according to the text, that individual is headed to death, ruin, destruction. You got to be careful about your own heart. How many know your own heart will try to deceive you? Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's okay. You can do it just one time. I mean, you're curious. Just try it. It seems right. Woo! Let's go to Proverbs. I believe I want to go to Proverbs chapter 2. Y'all sitting here looking at me like y'all don't understand or know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Proverbs 2:13, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So you can go man's way, or you can go in the ways of darkness. Look at what he reveals is the ways of darkness when a person leaves the paths of uprightness. When you leave what you've been taught, now you're walking in darkness. When you leave what pastor done showed you in God's word and you start doing contrary, now you're on the path of darkness. See, the opposite of dark is light, and Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the word. And so whenever you and I do the word, we're in the light. Whenever we obey in Jesus, we are in the light. His word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. His light shows me the way. But whenever you leave that alone, young folk, now you're in darkness. Ooh, you're going down an evil path. You're going down the path of wickedness. You're going down the path where you're giving place to the devil. And you know how devils are. They're not going to come alone. They're going to bring some other demons with them. And they're going to get you to do what you said you would never do. Oh, I won't touch that. But whenever you leave God's protection, whenever you leave the path that God has ordained for you to go down, now you're on your own. See, David could walk down the path of the valley of shadow of death because he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. He knew that his rod and his staff would protect him. But see, what happens when you're going down the path of darkness by yourself? What happens when you go down the path of darkness and you on your own? What happens when you go down the path of having sex on your own? What happens when you go down the path of smoking? What happens when you go down the path of running the street? You on your own. And so you got to make it your business. I got to stay out of darkness. I got to stay out of porn. I got to stay out of this. I got to stay out of that because I don't want to go down the paths of darkness. Listen, it'll start being pleasurable. That's how the ride is. It's just like on a roller coaster. You going up and you, man, I can see all the way over there. And look at the clouds. Oh, man, this is going to be fun. But when you hit that first hill, woo, I said, when you hit that first hill, for some folk, it's a wrap. It's over. You watch them TikTok videos and them folk just fainting and falling out. It's over. And see, that just shows us it starts out nice. It starts out pleasurable. But the end of darkness, young people, the end of sin is death. Whoever the Lord is talking to, and you done got off that path for a weekend. You done got off that path for a few hours. You better heed this warning. You better repent and get back on the path of uprightness. It may be a police officer waiting on you to come down that path, and they got some handcuffs in a cell waiting on you. It may just be disease waiting on you. You don't know what can pounce on you. When Cain got to going against his brother and got in darkness, the Bible said evil was sitting there and it pounced on him. It jumped on him. Listen, young folk, whenever you get on the path of darkness, you're opening yourself up for evil, sin, wickedness to come into your life. So you don't be deceived. I said you don't be deceived. You have to look at the total picture. It looks nice, but it's a worm in there. It's something in there that's gonna mess me up. Back when I was y'all age, I wasn't saved. We used to go trick-or-treating. Y'all know what trick-or-treating is. And they had these folk, what they would do in order to hurt children, teenagers, because I was a teenager, and I was going to get in that candy, free candy, shoot. I was knocking on the door on November 1st. We would go to 31st and the 1st. But that changed when we had this particular man and other groups of people. They were putting razor blades and glass and things that would harm people. They were putting it in the candy and then giving it to the young people. And what we thought was good and tasty, if you put it in your mouth and you happen to get caught lacking, then you would be injured or hurt. And see, young people, that's the same way it is in life. You don't want to come up lacking. You don't want to get caught slipping. So you have to be discerning, young people. Are you understanding? Even when you get into your adulthood, you can't be on that dumb stuff. You don't put your name on nothing. You don't hang with folk you ain't got no business hanging with. I don't want to be in it because I don't want to go down the paths of darkness. Second Chronicles. Lord have mercy. Second Chronicles 17:6. Spent some time on that, but I believe that helped somebody. I said, I believe that helped somebody. You cannot be so naive when it comes to the people that you meet. You can dress darkness up in some nice clothes. And so when you get the meeting, folk, you take your time and you judge righteously. When people talk that dumb stuff, can't nobody judge me but God. They don't read their Bible. You judge righteously. You get to know folk before you open up your life. A fool vents his heart. You don't tell everybody everything. No, I ain't never done that before. I ain't never been there before. Then you giving them the ammo they need to take you down. Oh, you ain't never been there. Well, guess where we going? We going there. Because we got some folk at the MSW, you what I call late bloomers. We got late bloomers. And there's nothing wrong with being a late bloomer. Yeah, but you can't be naive. See, certain things that you may want to experience when you 15, 16, 17, you may not start experiencing until you 19, 22, or 24. But you don't want to get caught with your nose wide open. You don't want nobody to turn you out. Second Chronicles 17:6. And it says about Jehoshaphat, and his heart took delight in the, help me, ways of the Lord. See these choices? His heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. So you got man's way, the ways of darkness, as well as the ways of the Lord. But what I love about this verse is that Jehoshaphat, he was happy to do what God wanted him to do. He took delight. He found pleasure in doing God's business. And that's how we need to be, young folk. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. And the psalm writer revealed if we do that, he would give us the desires of our heart. Now, I was poking at Minister Shaq about how she was on fire, but that wasn't nothing but a good example of somebody who was taking delight in being used by the Lord. You got to be excited about what God has chosen you to do, young people. Whether it's being on an instrument, whether it's carrying the preacher's Bible, whether it's cleaning up, whether it's handing out envelopes, whatever the Lord has chosen you to do, serve the Lord with some gladness. You got to be delightful when it comes to the things of God, even if your peers ain't. When it's time to give God the praise, somebody ought to be in here excited about giving God the praise besides the praise team. You may have sinus problems. Your head may be hurting. But is there anybody in here that can press their way through it and still give God the praise? I was looking at one of the football games this weekend, and by God, it was snowing out there. Ain't nobody left the stadium. They sitting at the football games in a blizzard coming down. I said, man, look at these folk taking delight in how they're worshiping at a football game. Where the trendsetters at? That no matter how folk look at them, you still happy about serving your Jesus. Not just in the church, but outside the church. Will you give them a praise when you go to Food Depot? When you pull up the BP, will you give him a praise? You and I gotta take the light. But delight means in this verse, consistent pleasure. It just don't need to be a one-time thing, young folk. It needs to be a lifestyle. We need to be happy about whatever it is the Lord has chosen us to do. I said, I need to be happy. Look at somebody and say, you need to be happy. Yeah, I'm married. Been married for over 26 years, and I'm still happily married. We have our days. We have our fights. Sometimes we do certain things to one another, but I'm still happy to be married. Woo! Been in youth and young adult ministry over 25 years, but I still look forward to coming to the MSW because I know it's a young person, it's a young adult coming in there that need a touch from the Lord. It's a young person coming to the church that's going through and they need to hear some knowledge and some understanding, and I'm still excited about it. Do I have anybody, even though we've been down in ministry for about 3 years now, but are you still excited about the dance ministry? Are you still looking forward to children's church? Are you excited about the things of God? The days of begging folk to do stuff. Look at somebody and say, it's over. Y'all done hit that note. Look at somebody and say, the days of begging folk, help me out, say, it's over. It's over now. It's over now. The days of me begging, it's over now. Because I believe there's some young folk at the MSW that want to film on the camera. It's some young folk at the MSW that want to lead prayer. It's some young folk in the MSW that want to play instrument. It's some young folk in the MSW that are about the Father's business. And they're excited about it. Y'all ought to sing that one more time before you sit down. Look at somebody and grab your ear and say, it's All right, y'all sit down. That's over. So we got how many ways? The first one is man's way. We got the way of darkness, and we got the Lord's way. So we got to choose, right? And I done took you to the Bible to break it down. In our verse, Paul gives us God's way. In all things, this is what God does, and this is what he wants us to do. Not just in the church, but when you go to work, when you go home, or wherever you may be, that covers all things, right? In how you dress. And how you treat folk. In how many things? All things. In all things, or let all things be done first decently. Get this in your spirit. As a faith walker, a trendsetter, God wants me to choose to do everything decently. If you go out on a date, you need to be decent. When you go to the game, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Turn up without alcohol again, huh? Be decent. When you get into altercations with people, disagreements, be decent. Because you can be upset with folk. You can be angry. Just do not sin. In other words, be decent. So we need to look at a definition of decent, if that's what he wants us to be, in how many things? In all things. Well, Pastor, I'm 11, I'm 12, so be decent. When you make a TikTok video, okay, do your thing, have fun. But when we come by and see your video, we hope that we see something that's when somebody is decent. This morning I want to use the definition, and it's not the only. But it means to be or to conduct yourself with honor and integrity. Bottom line, to help you remember, just do what's right. When someone is doing that which is decent, they're going to do the right thing. They're going to conduct themselves with integrity. Just going to do what's right. If somebody give you a gift for Christmas and it may not have been 100% of what you wanted, you done made your list and checked it twice, but they didn't even get you nothing on the list, do what's right. At least say thank you. Be thankful. That's just right. If you come to the MSW and they have a Christmas party and you draw something and you get something, and, oh, God, I needed this. Thank you so much. Do the right thing. At least just say thank you. Because when we look in Scripture, we see that most people, in one example, there were 10 lepers that got something done for them by the Lord. You know how many came back to show some decency? Just one. But how many didn't come back? Not. That means 90%. It's usually a large majority of folk. They don't do what's right. That's jacked up. You make it a point as a young man or a young woman, I'm going to have some integrity. I'm going to strive to do what's right. going to strive to do what's right. You at school and then you see somebody on the reduced lunch and they getting talked about. Ha! You paying that 35 cent. Ha ha! Poor joker. You sorry. No, do what's right. Hey, man, y'all leave him alone. Y'all know that ain't right. Don't even laugh. You know what I'm saying? Nah, man, that ain't right. That could have been us. Do what's right. Do what? Look at somebody say, do what's right. Somebody fighting. Don't pull out your phone and record it. Oh, I'm getting this world star. No. Either walk away and mind your business, because folk crazy. Or if you lay it of God, try to help break it up and so forth. But just do what's right. Somebody said, I'm just leave him alone. Sue. Y'all ain't getting me. But that's fine. If that's what's right, do what's decent. But we live in a day and time, folks will just pull out a phone and start recording. I'm needing your help, brother. Put the phone up. Help me. Go get the principal or something. Help me. I'm not going to go there, but y'all write these references down, Joseph and Jesus. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, the Bible says that he did what was decent. He didn't try to put shame on her and make her a public example, because he had known that what happened to her, it was a God thing. And the Bible said he just put her away secretly. He did what was right. And likewise, Jesus, he was decent. He did what was honorable and that which had character or integrity. The culture we live in, young people, sad to say, it's affecting young people in the church. Young people are no longer, or not all young people, are taking a stand for decency. You need to strive to be a young woman that's saying, look, I don't care what these folk out here doing. I'm going to be a trendsetter. Young men, you can't be swayed by these athletes and celebrities to start carrying yourself in a manner that's unholy, prideful, wicked. You don't need to be moved by that. You need to have the mindset, I'm going to be decent. The Bible says that Daniel distinguished himself from others. I got some pictures here. Look at this. This is in our day and time. NBA young boy. I mean, just deaf. Evil. Travis Scott looking like a possessed man. That's called cool. Man, I like that. Saucy Santana, that's a man. In pink, that's a boy, Damon. That's a And of course we know about the demonic Megan Thee Stallion. Here she is, just dressed up with horns and a tail. Even though we know the devil don't look like that, but she's communicating that which is evil. And the Bible says to avoid or abstain from every appearance of evil. Man, I couldn't even put up some of the pictures I wanted to of her. That stuff it's soft porn. Then I found this article about the rise of men wearing fingernail polish. Male celebrities are coming out with their own cosmetic lines. Even a Heisman Trophy candidate this year, guess what he wear? Nail polish. Look it up. out at USC, the quarterback, talking about, I'm doing this to because I'm inspired from my mother. And his mother, she's a nail technician. Look, my mama could be a nail technician, but I'm a man. I'm not putting on no nail polish. But this is society now. This is what's put before you. And don't act like y'all don't see stuff. But we don't need to let it creep in, young folk, in our personal life and in the church. We need to be decent in all things. Look at somebody say, we need to be decent. How many agree? If you agree, shout, praise the Lord. Yeah. As faith walkers, we need to be decent in all things. How we treat folk, how we carry ourselves, our dealings at school, on the job, and so forth. Need to have integrity. As a reference, I want you to notice Galatians 6 and 10. I'm almost done. And it says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all. Do what's right. But especially to those who are of the household of faith. Look at somebody say, you got to do folk right. But I love the text, especially to your brothers and sisters. The primary place we should see integrity, honor, love, and doing what's right is in the church. How can you say you say and you don't love your sister? That ain't right. You try to avoid certain folk that you go to church with and both of y'all save. Somebody say, that ain't right. Now, it's one thing if it's conflict between two parties. You got to solve the conflict. If there's an ought, go to and resolve it. And my Bible. And that's showing love. One toward another, especially. What I look like not coming in here speaking to Tim and Mullins, but speaking to Pierre. Y'all ought to help me. Look at Pastor and say, that ain't right. That ain't right. Then I go up and hug Pierre. Man, good to see you, bro. God blessing you. Man, it's good to see you. Pierre and Tim come around the corner. I just, what's up? I'm going in my office. Look at somebody and say, that ain't right. I need to have some love for them. Come here, bro. What's up, Tim? Like them shoes, brother. Keeping them grades up? All right. What's up, Mullins? See, y'all tripping. He bigger than Tim. He is. He bigger than Tim. So I got to go like this. Show me some love. Show me some love. But you'd be surprised at the MSW of clicky young folk. Clicky young folk. They speak to the same three folk every week. They don't speak to visitors. They don't greet them. Pastors say, go greet somebody not on your road. They do this right here. Won't show no love. Y'all look at somebody and say, that ain't right. That ain't decent. One thing we do not want is for somebody to come to God's house and we serve a God of love and they don't get no love. That ain't right. That ain't right. I like going in stores. Hello, welcome to Moe's. Hey, what's happening? Show me some love. I like that. But when I go in certain stores and I walk in there and don't nobody say nothing, I'm like, they ain't getting none of my money. I'm out. Am I right about it? That's just right. I'm coming with the money. Treat the customer right. But then he says, what I really want to deal with for the last 7 minutes, do all things in order. As a young person, it is so important to start having habits formed in your life that demonstrate you are a person of order. From a natural standpoint, young people, when you have order, it says you have structure in your life. It says that you have priorities and you know what's most important. Now, you may have a list of 5 things, but when you are a young person of order, you know what you should tend to first, what needs the most attention, and so forth. You are a person of order. You have a routine, structure. You're organized. You're not a person of clutter. If you start that now, as a child, you're opening yourself up for tremendous productivity and blessing. Because the God we serve is a God of order. Grandma used to tell us when we got home from school back when I was a child. Grandma coming home, ready to go outside. When she would come down and stay with us during the school year on occasion, she would come down at the house and just start taking over. How many know grandma can be like that? And I come home from school, grandma going outside, get your lesson. Get your lesson first. You get your lesson, and then you can go outside. Matter of fact, get your lesson and make sure that your room is clean. Then you can go outside. And then mama would butt in and say, and you better be back in the house by such and such a clock. Now, we used to hate that, but you know what grandmama and mama was giving us young folk? Order. Order. You come in here before you get on that game, get your lesson. You can get on the game, you can watch TV once you finish your business. The old folks say your lesson. Y'all ever heard that? Get your lesson done. Look at somebody say, get your lesson done. Yeah, you got to have order about your life. When you go, if you go off to school, especially if you go away, listen, young folk, you done already paid them. They got their money up front. They got their money on the front end. You get the degree on the back end. Look at somebody say, they get the front end money. You get the back end. Yeah, they already got their money. They gonna give you a syllabus. You got to go buy your books. Now, it's up to you if you got some structure in your life. You ain't got to go to class. You can come on Tuesday and Thursday at 7:15 to 9:15. That's when the class is. Either you're going to be there or you're not. If you got class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8:15, you can come if you so choose. We already got your money. You got to have some order and structure in your life. And don't mess around and be no athlete. Oh, my gosh, you ain't going to halfway never be in the class. You're going to always be on the field. So if you don't know how to have order on a daily basis, if you don't know how to say, man, for 2 hours I'm going to study, for 30 minutes I'm going to wash my clothes, for 15 minutes I'm going to make my meal, then I got to go to work for 3 hours. You got to know. You got to know how to live when mama ain't there. You got to have some structure. When you at home with mama right now, you need to be learning how to make more than just some peanut butter and jelly. You need to be getting in there and learning how to make some spaghetti. And some of y'all are like, I can do that. You need to know how to make you some sausage and eggs. Somebody say, I know how to do that. But then you need to know how to make you some other things. Somebody said, baked chicken. Look at you. Go ahead and check the food list off. But do you know how to handle money? You got to have some structure about your life or order. You got to know how to go to practice, but still be loyal in ministry. You got to have structure. You got to have a routine. And again, we're looking at order from a natural standpoint. Look at your body. Is your body that God created, is it in order? Is it set up right? I said, is it set up right? God got our body working, and most of the stuff we can't even see. I mean, this stomach, no, when I put something in there, it's got to digest it. Woo, my bowels know when the waste need to come out, I got to go to the bathroom. Woo, it may be at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I got to go. The body is set up right. But a little particle can be coming towards your eye. These eyelashes know to bat to try to protect your eyes. Boy, look at somebody and say, God got it set up right. And your life need to be the same way. Order in your bedroom. You need to know where the socks, the drawers. You need to know where your pants go, and it need to be in order. And you need to get mad at your siblings when they come in your room and get things out of order. Yeah. You got your lesson for first period. You ain't slacking. You know you got a quiz. You done studied for that. You in order. She throwing out some extra credit. You don't need it because you that smart, but you'll do it anyway just in case. You got some structure. You got some order. Oh, man, God done blessed you with an extra $50. No, you don't go out and just spend the whole $50. You acknowledge the Lord. He'll tell you how much to save. He'll tell you how much to give. And he'll tell you how much to spend on yourself. Look at somebody say, you got to have some order. Isn't it amazing? The sun know when to come up. And the moon know when to come up. The sun know when to go down. And the moon know when to go. Isn't that amazing? Don't the ocean stay in the same place? I done been to Panama Beach. I can't tell you how many times. And the beach is still there. It's set up right. Fish still swim in the water. It's in order. If a fish walked through that door right now, something is out of order. Let a fish just walk in here and say, praise the Lord. I'm being comical, but how many are getting the picture? Gotta have some order. Are you an orderly person? Do you have structure in your life the way God does? Now, God is meticulous. He is very attentive to details, but we got to get there. We got to get there. Some of you are in leadership and are going to be in leadership. Some of you are going to be supervisors and business owners one day. Did y'all catch that word right there? Some of you are going to be over other people. You can't come slacking. You have to be a person of order. Biblically, when we are in order, we're without confusion. We follow rules. Woo! And we about business. Y'all see it? In the church, or biblically, order has to do with out confusion. We follow rules, and we're about business. No confusion in God's house. We have an MC when we do services because we don't want no confusion. It's time to pray. Let's get ready to pray. It's time to worship. Here come the praise team to lead us in worship. All right? We receive the offering according to God's word. Ain't no confusion. Y'all see it? We about business and we follow rules. We have guidelines and we follow them. You need to be the type of person that you are okay with authority or following rules. Okay? Master your license and register. For what? You asking for a beat down or a night in jail? Yes, sir. It's right here. It's inside my pocket. I am reaching. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. Bam! No, you don't do that. You might get bam, but you don't have no problem. You understand that he got rules that he following, and you need to be okay with following rules. Get on the ground. I ain't do nothing. Just get on the ground, bro. That's all you got to do. Just follow order or rules when they're right. Are you with me? Even in the church, young people, we need to be in order. If all you get is 5 minutes to do a particular thing, use them what? Them 5 minutes. Be in order. If we need you to sing 20 songs, yeah, we need you to do 20 songs in the next month. See, y'all thinking one service. I don't know what church that is. You'll never hear Baker say, I need them to pull up 17 more of them songs. Unless they can do them back to back, one verse. One verse, DJ. Yeah. I know she don't mind, but I remember when I was teaching DJ how to do things in order. And I remember when she was younger, and I would tell her, I would say, look, I need you to sing it like this. And I need you to use this amount of time right here. But see, in the church, you know what people will tell you? Man, I just got to let the Lord have his way. Well, if you're giving directions and you're talking, let the Lord have his way, that are contrary to those directions, you're out of order. And so we need to be okay with following guidelines, right? Especially in God's house. I'm closing. Our God is a God of order. And so we should look for order, young people. We should not only look for order, we should like things being in order. But most of all, we should be in order. I like going to church where there's order. I don't like going to church where things are all out of order. Right? What would y'all say if me, Mullins, Tim, and Pierre, and let me add Michael, that'll be five, we play for Carrollton. Pierre, Mullins, myself, Tim, and Michael. We the starting five. And Minister Shaq is the coach. And she said, look, at the game Tuesday, we wearing our black jerseys. Our black and gold. Me, Mullins, and Michael, we show up with black and gold. We got the away jerseys on. Pierre and Tim come in there with the white and gold. How we look? You know, legally the refs could say, y'all, the game is forfeited because the opposing team has on white. And y'all supposed to have on black. You're losing. You're out of order. Pierre and Tim need to run somewhere and find the what? The black. Or it affects me, Michael, and Mullins. And y'all know Michael like to shoot, so he gonna be mad. Right? Right? You supposed to be loud as one. So we need to make sure we're all on the same page. We need to be knowing what God has given the pastor, and we all be in order. Conduct ourselves accordingly. Right? If Pastor done left Minister Shaq in charge and she give out the orders, then we all need to be okay with that. We don't need to be the type of, well, what Pastor say? No, if he left her in charge, she got the authority. I want to close with this. I had to learn that lesson probably 17 years ago. I'm closing with this example. The same way I was taught about the importance of being in order, I want to share it with you. And so this probably been about 17, 18 years ago, maybe longer. We had a service, and Bishop at the time said, Baker, you are in charge. I'm leaving the program and everything in your hands. And so I was excited. I went telling so-and-so, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Man, we're going to have a good time. Got here for the service, young people. Bishop wasn't there. But it was understood between the two of us who was in charge. I was. So at the time, we had some young elders. And they asked for the program. And I showed them the program. And some of the things on the program at the time, they didn't like. And so they said, look, you don't need to do such and such. And I was young, and I was being respectful. And I was like, well, y'all the elders, so let me just do what y'all say. And I went and made some changes 5 minutes before the service. Yeah, that's how I was looking. And I went and did it. Service went on, went well, but it was some folk that were mad at me. They were mad at me. And so when Bishop came back, how'd the program go? I said, it went well. I said, but I made some changes, and the reason I did it is because such and such said they didn't like something and they didn't want it to be done. Man of God looked at me and said, well, that's your fault. Yeah. I left you in charge. So who was out of order? You were. That was a lesson I learned about order. And I never made that mistake again. Now, look, I was probably, at the time and still am, 20-something years younger than them elders. But the order was, Baker, you in charge. And so when you are responsible for something, you need to make sure that you carry it out. And that was my lesson about God being a God of order. And the Lord brought that back to my remembrance and said, you teach them. I want them to live decently and in order. I want them to be young people of integrity, honor, doing what's right. But I want young people in my church and outside be okay with following my guidelines. Not being about confusion and just loving being in order. How many understand the teaching? I'm serious. How many understand it? This is what God requires. We need to make sure we got knowledge and understanding. By a show of hands, how many got some understanding? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching. Thank y'all for being my examples this morning.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.